titled the sermon, The Titanic. I'm going to compare Scripture with the historic events that happened in 1912 when the Titanic sunk, and compare the Scripture to that, and then to compare all that to the world today. And hopefully we can see some contrast and learn from it. Let's begin in Acts chapter 27, verse 9, because we're going to read about a ship that the Apostle Paul was in. And praise God, he was a prisoner in this ship, and they was going to take him to Rome as a prisoner. Now in verse 9 it says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past." Now that fast is the Day of Atonement. Usually the last part of September, early October, it's done past, and they're getting into the winter months. And it was dangerous to sail. Paul admonished them in verse 10, it says, "And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, a centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Paul warned these people that were on this ship that they were in great danger. The Lord showed him that the ship, if it set sail as planned, it was going to incur much damage and much hurt. Now, Paul was this little Jewish man. He was short. The word Paul means small. And he was a little Jewish man, a tent maker by trade. And no doubt when the captain and the owner of this ship heard Paul's warning, they mocked him. Now, praise God, it said the centurion didn't take heed to what Paul said, but listened to the master of the ship, the captain of the ship. I imagine that the captain was probably saying, "Look, I've sailed these seas for 20 years. This is a good ship. It's not going to sink. You're not going to have any problems. We've got the best crew there is. But don't you feel that good south wind blowing? It's good and warm. We're going to be all right." And so they ignored the counsel of Paul and obeyed the counsel of the captain. Now, as we read the story on what happened, well, praise God, things changed. And the storm came. Ship that Paul was on, it hit against the bank, against some rocks, and it was broken too. And they lost the cargo, and it was just a terrible mess. They should have listened to Paul. Because Paul wasn't speaking from his own wisdom, but from the wisdom of God. He had been in communion with God, seeking the face of God. And when you do that, amen, God can show you things. God can help you. He can give you wisdom beyond your own comprehension. He can show you things. And so when they mocked Paul and scorned Paul's counsel, they was actually mocking God. Because God was speaking through this man Paul. Now the Bible warns us that God is not mocked. Now you can mock them, but you'll not get away with it. When they mock the Lord, when men mock the Lord, they can do it by making fun of them. They can do it by willfully disobeying them. But when they do, I tell you what, they're going to reap. It says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, thus shall he reap. Now think about the story of the Titanic. That ship, I think they said it was 888 feet long. A gigantic ship. They call it the Titanic, and that word means the giant God. And they said it was unsinkable. And they even said that God Himself couldn't sink that ship. That's what they said, the makers and the captain and the builders of it. God Himself, they said, can't sink this ship. You know what they were? They were fools. They were prideful. They thought by their own might, by their own works of their own hands, that they could go against God, that they didn't have to worry about the elements that God controls. They were foolish. Praise God, we're foolish if we think we don't need God. They thought they didn't need God. When we think that we can go without God, that we can continue without His protection, without God in this world, we're going to mess up. Now, they disobeyed God. They mocked God because they were prideful and foolish. Now, listen. The Bible says the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Amen? And the Bible says that He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Now, I believe, praise God, when they mocked Him and said that God couldn't sink that ship, that they doomed themselves. They doomed themselves when they done that, praise God. I believe in God's providence. It was settled that ship's not coming back to port. It's going to sink in the cold black sea, never to be brought back up. I believe He condemned it. Now, I want you to think about the world. The world's like a Titanic.
We're on this planet Earth, and it's spinning through outer space. We're like on a ship. And this world has mocked God, and it's mocked God. And the captain of this ship has mocked God. It's the devil, the god of this world. The inhabitants of the world mocked God. The Bible says we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. People go through life thumbing their nose at God. We don't need you. I don't need to obey you. I'm smarter than you, God. Praise God, I can make it on my own. What's going to happen? It's going to happen. God has already condemned this earth. The Bible says it's condemned already. That the whole world is now guilty before God. God done said, you're sunk. You're sunk. Amen. God has condemned it. God has done sentenced it to destruction. And everybody owns it. He's done that. And the end of this thing is drawing near. The end of this world as we know it is drawing near. Now look at verse 12. Acts 27, verse 12, what happens. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Themis. And there the winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lies towards the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close to Crete. Now you imagine that, Paul warned them. Don't go. It's going to be a mess. You're going to lose the ship and people's going to be hurt. Don't do it. And they felt that soft wind blowing. That old gentle summer wind was blowing. And they said, well, we got a purpose now. We don't have to listen. We're going to set sail. They had false security. False security. They felt secure in feeling that south wind blow. Now think about the Titanic, how they felt. The whole world knew about this ship. It was all over the papers, all over the news. It was the largest ship ever built. It had tennis courts on it. It had a gymnasium on it. It had a ballroom. The passengers on it was the richest people in the world. They were the most knowledgeable people in the world. The Titanic was said to be the safest ship ever built. Amen. They felt so secure in it. They thought they had everything, but they just had a few lifeboats. They didn't have enough lifeboats for the people. There was 2,200 people on the Titanic and just room for 1,100 people on the lifeboats. So they had a false sense of security. We don't need lifeboats, they thought. God's not going to even sink this thing. It was false security. Now think about the false security that's in the world today. Let's just even dodge sinners. Sinners is going through life thinking, I got tomorrow to get right. Let's think about the church, praise God. They have a false assurance. Even though that they're living in willful rebellion against God, they think, amen, they're going to have a safe port in heaven someday. They're homosexuals. Adulterers, fornicators, drug addicts, alcoholics, liars, and other rebels, praise God, who think they're going to go to the kingdom of God because they said some little prayer in the past, praise God, and they're living in willful disobedience to God. Now, maybe everything right now is going pretty smooth. Maybe right now they feel like, amen, that south wind's blowing and everything's going to be okay. But I'm telling you, God is not mocked. God's going to judge them. And God judged the Titanic. God made sure that His word came to pass with Paul's ship. Listen what happened in verse 14. It says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. The south wind turned into a north wind. And it was a storm began to blow. Verse 18, it says, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Man, it got mad. They should have listened to old Paul. In fact, Paul comes out in a minute and says, y'all should have listened to me. Now, praise God, think about that Titanic. Their little security that they had was taken away. April 14th, 1912, 11:35 p.m., the guy on the crow's nest looked and he seen ice. And he sent a call down to the captain. There's ice. Cut away from it. Nobody answered him. He called down again. There's ice. Cut away from it. Nobody answered him. He called down the third time and they picked up the phone to answer it and they hit the ice. And there's a 300-foot gash cut in the side of that unsinkable ship. 300 feet long. Now what was the people doing? There was 2,206 people on board that ship when it struck the iceberg, and guess what they was doing? They had a party going on. They was singing, they were dancing, they was gambling, they was having a good old time in their old worldly, sinful ways. And then the call came, hey, We just struck an iceberg. This thing is going to go down. We need to get to the lifeboats. There's a group of people gambling. Some of them got up and left and got on deck and looked around and didn't think nothing of it, went right back to their table and began to gamble some more and play cards, and they died. Even after they warned these people that this thing was sinking, these people began to joke about it. They took the life preservers and put on them and began to dance in them. And people stood laughing at them. Some women, they didn't want to put the life preservers over their fancy gowns, so they just threw them away. They wasn't a bit worried about it. And they're sitting there saying, this thing is sinking. You're going to die. Get your life preservers on and get into the lifeboat before it's too late. And they mocked. They mocked these people that was warning them. And that a picture of the day? Yeah. Jesus said, as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. They're going to be doing their partying. They're going to be doing their worldliness. They're going to be having their good time and sin. But praise God, it's going to come. And when it comes, it's going to come as destruction from the Almighty. And they're going to be caught. Peter said, knowing this, that there shall come at the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, hey, where's the promise of His coming? Y'all been saying that from the very beginning. Mocking. And it's here. They're mocking. But He's coming. People laugh at the old time religion now, don't they? They laugh at the thought of meeting Jesus. They ignore the warning that's being preached. To them, life is just a party, just a game. They just want to have a good time. But Jesus is coming. He's going to judge this world in righteousness. And we're all going to meet Him. Everybody's going to meet Him. This ship, amen, we call planet Earth, is sinking. The world's on death row, and execution's at hand. Now think, there were about 20 lifeboats on the Titanic. 20 of them. For a long time, new people wouldn't even get on it. Oh, we ain't worried about it. They ain't going to sink. Then when they started realizing it was sinking, praise God, only 705 people got on the lifeboat out of 2,200. Just 705 out of 2,200. That's pretty good compared to Noah's day. 8 got on the lifeboat in Noah's day. Not because they couldn't get on, because they wouldn't get on when there was time. There was time, praise God, as long as the door was open to get on the ark. But praise God, the world mocked and scorned Noah, wouldn't listen to him until the door was shut and the rain began to fall. Today there's just one lifeboat. His name's Jesus. Praise God. Everybody's welcome to enter and get in. Praise God. But you got to come through the door. You got to go through the straight gate, the narrow gate. Praise God. And that means you come repentant of your sins, every sin. And you come in faith, believing, and trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. They made a movie about Titanic based on that story. And some of it was a pretty good movie. I wouldn't watch it as a Christian, though. There's cussing and stuff in it. But praise God, you can watch them. It was true. There's families separated. When a ship goes down, what's the first one to get off the ship? The women and the children, right? You can imagine that. Women, the wives were pulled from their husband's arms and threw on the lifeboat. Little kids was pulled from their parents' arms and threw on the lifeboat. As a separation happens. Praise God, most of the people saved, they meant women and children, because they put them on the lifeboats first. As a separation. What's going to happen when Jesus comes back? There's going to be a separation. Amen. I believe, praise God, and little children be saved and pulled from them old sinner mommy's arms. Amen. Them Christian women's going to be pulled from their old sinner husband's arms. Amen. Going to separate. Jesus said, the goat from the sheep. He said, I'll put the goat on my left hand and say, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire. And I'll say to my sheep, enter into the joys of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. There's going to come a separation. And those that's not ready to meet Jesus Christ, they're going to drown just like these people drown. They're going to drown in the wrath of God and in a lake of fire and brimstone. There's a separation. One eyewitness said that there was a little boy. He was guessing he was about 12 years old. And he was there with his daddy on that ship. And they came and got the little boy to put him on the lifeboat. And he ran back to his daddy. And he held on to his daddy. And the daddy held on to the boy. They wouldn't let each other go. Wouldn't let each other go. Then the ship broke in two, just like Paul's ship, and it sunk. And that man, that little boy, died together, clinging to each other. And people say, boy, that's real love there between that daddy and that little boy. Yes, that boy loved his daddy. So I got to wonder about the daddy loving the boy. That daddy had enough strength in his arms to get that little boy and throw him into that lifeboat to save his life. I believe that daddy's a bit selfish, evil. Hold on to that little boy that way and drown. Have him die when he didn't have to, praise God. I want you to think about that. Are we doing everything we can do to get our loved ones saved? Are we doing everything possible to get them in the lifeboat of Jesus Christ today? Well, how do you do it? Number one, you've got to be strong. You've got to be consistent as a Christian. Not just wavering. You ain't going to get nothing of the Lord. Being like a wave of the sea. In and out of church. Spend 1 minute. Going to church next. That's not how you be a light to your family. That's not how you win your family. Praise God and that parents. Praise God. You know what we should do with our children? Take them to church. See fit that they're in church every week. Praise God. And we're there with them. Amen. And we should be instilling Bible knowledge and morals into our child's character. The whole time we've got them, we've got to be teaching them the Bible. Amen. He said, teach it to your children and your children's children. Praise God. Teach them the Bible. And we need to be keeping them from the devil. We don't want the devil touching our children, do we? I don't want the devil touching mine. And we need to be pulling the tires up. Praise God. Pulling them old tires up the devil's souls in our kids. Remember I told you about plowing up the yard back here and praise God, Dad got sick and we didn't do nothing to it. Turned a big weed patch. Same way with a kid. When a kid's born, it's like a plowed up ground. But guess what? Weeds have done sown in it. The devil done sown the weeds in it. Before he's ever born, they're born with a sin nature. What do we do to them weeds? If you love your kids, you pluck them up. If there's sin in its life, you pluck it up. If you see sin anywhere in its life, you get rid of it. And man, as a parent, you got that power. We need to raise them with Christian ethics. A lot of the sin we allow, we're responsible of. I think when I was 20 years old and the Lord dealt with me, I didn't come to Jesus when I was 20 because I liked drinking and rock and roll music. Lane, I struggled with the Lord before coming to the Lord. I know one of the main reasons was what? Rock and roll music. Right? Didn't want to give it up. What are we doing? We shouldn't let our kids listen to rock and roll. We shouldn't let our kids do things that God doesn't want them to do because the devil's going to use it to destroy their souls. We shouldn't let them watch movies that's not Christian. We shouldn't let them play video games that's devilish. We shouldn't allow them to be on the internet with adult supervision. No, I'm going to websites that's acceptable to Jesus. We shouldn't let them go to dances and parties or anywhere unchaperoned. Why? Because the devil's hooking them. The devil's putting a chain around their neck. He's going to drag them down to hell. And that's an excuse. The number one excuse I find for people turning away Jesus is, I got to give too much up. I got to give too much up. You take that away from them, and they won't have to worry about giving that up. Amen? Praise God, when I was 10 years old, and I went to that Baptist church, and the Lord dealt with me, he couldn't use that excuse on me, the devil couldn't. I wasn't into rock and roll. I wasn't into rock and roll music and filth and all these things. The devil said, you're too young. He had to use that excuse. And any preacher can deal with that. He can show them the Bible where it says, let the children come on to me. Praise God. That's an easy one to deal with. But when they get tied up in their sins, it's hard. It's hard. And I'm going to tell you something. The fact is, if you don't get your child saved by the time they're 18 years old, 1 out of 10 is going to end up saved. 90% of them is going to split hell wide open because they're done and hooked and drugged down to hell by the devil. And you think God's going to not hold us responsible for that? Do you think we can allow this filth to go on and God not hold us responsible? We're no better than that man that held his kid. And his kid held his waist as they went down to that black water. What are we doing? Are you going to go to hell with your kid hanging to your waist? I don't want to. I don't want to. Now, it's reported, praise God, when that old ship sunk, that them old rich men that went down in the water, some of them survived, and they began to swim to them old lifeboats. And you could just hold so many on them lifeboats. And they was coming up to these that was already full and say, if you give me a place on that lifeboat, I'll give you my fortune. I'll give you $1 million. Just let me get on that lifeboat. And there's no room on some of them. And they was willing to give up anything to get on the lifeboat. I think about Noah's day. They didn't want on it when the door was open. But man, when the flood started coming, when the rain started falling, oh, I would say that they was beating on the door and saying, Noah, I'll give you every bit of gold I got. I'll give you everything I got. Just let me in, Noah. Open the door. I bet they was falling on it, wanting in. But it's too late now. The door's shut. You lost. I think about when Jesus comes back. How he said them foolish virgins going to come and plead with them. Open to us, Lord. Open to us. He says, no, it's too late now. I think about the rich man in hell. He opened his eyes and he was in hell. And he would have gave everything he had on earth for one drop of water. One drop of water to cool his tongue. Today's the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. There's plenty of room at the cross, amen? Right now, God calls men to come aboard and be saved, amen. Ain't that good? 2,200 passengers, 700 survived. Those who survived are mostly those that heard the call and got in a hurry and got on board. Now look at verse 31. Acts 27, verse 31, what Paul said. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Those that survived the Titanic, they survived by clinging to that lifeboat. Man, when they got on it, they wasn't going to get off for nobody. They held on to it with all their might. Praise God. And if we're going to be saved, we're going to have to endure to the end. We must abide in the ship. We must abide in Jesus. Jesus said, if I abide in you, praise God, you abide in me, you'll bring forth much fruit. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and men gather them, and they're burned. We must abide in Jesus. Sadly, many preachers won't preach that. They failed to tell the disciples the necessity of keeping the faith unto the end. But the apostles didn't make that mistake. They exhorted disciples to continue in the faith. Acts 14, 22. Continue in the faith. Don't stop. They urged them, cleave unto the Lord Jesus. Acts 11, 23. Cleave unto Him. Hold to Him tight. That persuade them, continue in the grace of God, Acts 13:43, and to keep themselves in the love of God. Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God. How do you do that? By faith. A faith that hearkens to the voice of God in the Scriptures. By believing, praise God, the declaration of the Scriptures. Obeying God's commandments, praise God. Persevering to the end. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, Jude said, don't be like them angels who left the first estate. They rebelled. They was cast out. They left the first estate. Angels of light, they became devils, bound for perdition, forever lost. Before we close, look at Romans 11 and verse 22. It says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but for thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. Clear warning from the Word of God, folks. We've got to abide. Praise God in the lifeboat. We got to stay in there, praise God, by faith. If you got faith, you'll obey Jesus. You will obey Jesus. Then I think, praise God, one more thing about that Titanic. There was a ship not too far away from where the Titanic sunk. And they said they'd seen the lights. It went out. They said they thought that they just sped away from them. They thought they was going to be okay. And they didn't go and help. If they would have went and helped, a whole lot of them people could have been saved, but they didn't. Amen, that's us. And that's the dying world. Praise God, we got help. We're close to them that need help. Praise God, we need to reach out and give that help. Amen. We need to push the lifeboat, the life preserver, praise God, Jesus to them. We don't want their blood on our hands.